The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We're glad that you've chosen to join us today for our virtual live stream service. Of course, all of these things taking place because we are honoring the request of our governor as well as our president in regard to the health threat of the coronavirus. Today, as we open our service, I want to lead us in a word of prayer and ask God especially today to protect our healthcare workers. We have a number of folks in our church that serve in capacities that are essential. Some of these are healthcare workers, law enforcement, and other folks like that who will be on the front lines in regard to this very dangerous situation. Today, we're going to pray for them specifically that God would give them both a sense of peace and then also his divine protection. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember especially those that are serving us in a time when the rest of us are told to shelter at home. These are on the front lines in this battle, not only for the health of Americans, but for America itself. Let's bow in a word of prayer and ask God to bless this time. Father, we come before you and we love you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that there are some things that are unchanging and unmovable. Thank you, Lord, that we are kept by the power of God in the hollow of your hand, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We trust you now, Lord, and we look to you through this very difficult time. We lift before you healthcare workers, folks that are of our membership and folks that we don't know, but God, who are taking risk to help others who have fallen sick or help others who have normal medical conditions that must be attended to. Father, I pray for them that you would surround them with protection. We plead the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, over their lives. We pray that you'll give them peace and heart. Father, protect them, protect their families. We ask, Lord, for our law enforcement officers that you would give them special wisdom. Help that citizens would be gracious and cooperative with them. But Lord, also help them that they would not come into exposure of this illness. We pray, Father, your safety and security over all of our folks. And Lord, right now we look to you because our help comes from heaven. And Father, I pray that you'll bless. As we preach the word of God this morning, I pray it will be an encouragement. And Lord, if any come under the sound of this message, and they will acknowledge that they are not Christians, that they have never really come to know Christ, who is much more, much, much more than anything else life can offer, I pray today they would come to know him. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray you'll bless in our service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, church. Thanks for joining us again on a live stream on Sunday morning. I trust that you are all staying safe and sound in your homes, and I'm sure you're getting a bit anxious, as we are, to get out and about. So anytime that you're able to break up the monotonous schedule, even with a live stream, I think that probably brings a little bit of excitement to an otherwise boring day. Thank you for those of you that are watching for the very first time to the live stream. We've seen an increased number of those recently. Thank you. I hope that you're blessed and encouraged by today's live stream. Please do us a favor and reach out to us and let us know that it was your first time watching our live stream. Send us an email at office@faithbaptistchurch.com. That's office@faithbaptistchurch.com. Let us know how that we can serve you and the needs that maybe we can meet. I hope that you're encouraged by today's message. Pastor Ogden now is going to give us the scripture reading.
Well, would you please take your Bibles with me? I encourage you, please, even though you're in your home, take your Bible out and turn to Romans chapter number 5 as we do our scripture reading this morning. We're in Romans 5 as Pastor Monty continues his series here in Romans. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 6 today, and we're going to read down through verse number 20. I encourage you to read along with me. Go ahead and read out loud there in your homes. That'll be great. Let's go ahead and begin our reading this morning. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 6, and the scripture says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who in the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm going to ask Pastor Hunsucker to come up, and he's going to pray over the reading of God's word before Pastor Monty comes to preach.
Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity we have to share the gospel in this way. And while the church doors may be closed, that is the building, the church is alive and well, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that many of our people are sitting in their homes right now watching this broadcast and sharing it with their family. Pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless that as long as we have to do it. We pray that you'll meet all the needs of our church, meet the needs of our family, continue to watch over us physically and spiritually as we go through this time. We just ask your blessing now on the messages to follow. Be with our pastor, be with our people, and Lord, we look forward to the day where we can meet together again. We ask that you'll bless until that time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Morris. Like many in our church family, I am struggling with one particular issue in this time of crisis, and that is the idea of social distancing. I've discovered that I'm not very good at social distancing because I enjoy people and their fellowship. And even though it is impossible and very unwise for us at this point to enjoy any kind of close fellowship as we have, it is still nice once in a while to get out into the fresh air, to go walking, or maybe to see someone at a distance, of course, of at least 6 feet. Well, I have just such an opportunity for you. As you're well aware, in the midst of this crisis, the church will continue to operate. Now, I informed the church and instructed our deacons that we are operating on a bare-bones church budget. In other words, we're not spending money at all unnecessarily for things planned for the future because we don't know exactly what the future holds as far as scheduling is concerned. We have reduced our spending to the bare minimum here at the church in order to keep us as close as we can to our budget. I'm also very aware that there are many in our church family who will either face layoffs or perhaps reduced hours, and that income is going to be incredibly tight. But here's what I want to do. I want to encourage us, regardless of where our income level falls at this state in our nation's history, at this state in our lives, I want to encourage us to be certain that we're faithful in giving our tithes and offerings to the Lord. I think that's very important because our faithfulness should not just be in a time when we abound in riches, but our faithfulness should be in a time when we give, in the words of Paul, out of our deep poverty. For some of us, that's a reality, and yet I believe this, that the Lord will bless. If we take care of His business, God will take care of ours. Now, here's the exciting opportunity I want to present to you. This afternoon, beginning at noon, we are going to have some of our deacons and staff members. I plan to be there. We will be out in the front parking lot, the south parking lot of the church. Now, we're going to have a time when you can actually drive through and drop off your offering. Let me be very clear. We're not asking you to get out of your car. In fact, we're insisting that you not. One of our deacons will have an offering plate. You can drop your offering into the offering plate. We'll make sure that gets handled appropriately, just as we always do, and that that money is counted. It's essential that we do this because we need to know where we stand from a budgetary standpoint, and it's essential that we continue even in the operation of the church. While we're not having regular services with crowds of people, the ministry of the church continues on day by day, and several of our staff members are probably more busy now than they've even been in the past because there are added responsibilities such as recording these services, editing these services. That takes many, many hours. So I want to encourage you, the church staff is fully engaged and at work every single day. Now, having said that, I want to encourage you that this will be an opportunity, number one, for you to get out of your house. If you're anything like me, you're sick of being cooped up inside. And while you should not just go milling around among the public, that would not be wise, you'll have an opportunity to drive to the church to catch a fleeting glimpse of the handsome deacons and the handsome staff of our church and to give your offering. You're going to be there, aren't you, Pastor Wall?
I'll be there.
Pastor Wall will be there. See, he's the handsome staff of our church. Pastor Morris, were you planning to be there? Pastor Morris is another member of the handsome staff of our church. And so, and of course, the cherry on the top, I will be there too, and I will be smiling and greeting you, but greeting you at a distance. So there will be no physical contact. We will abide to the best of our ability by the 6-foot rule. You'll simply drop your offering in a plate, and then that will be counted later. But it will be nice to see you. The other day, before the governor made his recommendation, really his mandate that we shelter at home, I was in the church lobby, and several members of the church just stopped by. I think they saw cars in the parking lot, and so they just stopped by. And you cannot imagine what a blessing that was to me just to see these members. Now, we didn't shake hands, we didn't embrace in any way, but just to see them was a blessing. Get out of the house. This is something you can do, and it is something you can certainly do for the Lord at this time. I've emphasized this to us as a church family. This church has always risen above every crisis. By the grace of God, we're going to come through this more than conquerors, and I want to encourage you with that. So, beginning at noon, 12 noon until 1 o'clock, it is a 1-hour space of time. Beginning at 12 noon until 1 o'clock, we will be receiving tithes and offerings of folks that drive into the parking lot and do so. And frankly, it's going to be good to get to see you. I'm looking forward to that. Now, your Bible is open to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And there is more to life than just life. There is more to life than just life. In fact, there is much more when you think about it. And if you were listening carefully to the scripture reading just a few moments ago, the words much more appeared 5 different times in Romans chapter 5. Paul not only says that our justification, our salvation, will provide for us a home in heaven, and we'll get into that in just a moment, but he also says that there is much more to life than just life itself. And in Romans chapter 5, he does this by making a contrast and comparison to 2 different men. The first man being Adam, and the second man, the God-man, being Christ Jesus. And essentially, he says that every person in the world is either a son of Adam. All of us is that. All of us are that. We are either a son of Adam, or we are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And people who've never come to know Christ as their Savior, they remain as a son of Adam. And by making that choice to not receive Christ, they have chosen the destiny of Adam's race. But the good news is this. There is much more to life than what Adam's race has to offer. There is the in Christ life, the salvation life, the life that comes when we know the Lord and we are justified. In this message, I want to encourage us as Christians that we have much more. But having much more means this. We have much more to offer a desperately needy world. Now, part of the reason for preaching this message is I want you to, by way of electronic device, pass this message around, even give it to people. I might say especially give it to people who don't know the Lord, because we're going to have a clear gospel presentation here as well, and they need to understand that in a day and time of uncertainty, there is much more in Christ. What is life? If you just think about life, what is life? Well, there are several things we could say. Life is definitely hard. Life is hard. Life is tainted by sin. There are people who ask, where's the origin of the coronavirus? And we know that it is Wuhan, China. It is a Chinese coronavirus. It was made in China. Don't read too much into the word made, but if you want to, you may. It was made in China. That is the origin. But there's a deeper origin than that. The origin of every sickness, every illness, every disease, the origin of every physical defect, the origin of every genetic defect, all of those things originate back to the source, and that is sin and the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Life is hard. Life is hard because we as sinful creatures make choices that go against God's word, and then consequences of those choices not only affect our lives, but they affect the lives of other people, and so life is hard. Another thing we can say about life is this, that life is uncertain. This is, by the way, a message that is beginning to resound in the hearts of men and women today as we watch the news. Doesn't it seem like every day the news cycle is changing? Something new has happened, or something new has been discovered heretofore unknown about this mystery virus? Certainly it does. But it leads us to the question of life and its certainty. And at very best, life is uncertain. Well, this is not a lesson that we had to learn just because of the circumstances we face as a nation. This is a lesson that the Bible has taught us for thousands of years. There's no certainty in this life because everything in this world, ladies and gentlemen, is temporary. Everything in this world is passing away. So life is hard. Life is uncertain. Thirdly, life is brief. Life is brief. The longest lived lives, maybe into the early 100s, 109, 110, the longest lived lives are brief in comparison to eternity. And it is guaranteed that one day, whether it be the coronavirus or cancer or an accident or maybe just natural causes and old age, one day, barring the return of Christ, every one of us will leave this world in death. Now, should Jesus return in the rapture of the church, that generation, those Christians, they will not die. They'll be translated immediately to heaven. We look forward to that day. But barring the return of Christ, every one of us will die. So life is hard. Life is uncertain. Life is brief. But in Romans chapter 5, Paul compares and contrasts life in Adam as a simple son of Adam to the new life that is available in Christ. And I think it's really important that we understand this. When we are born a son of Adam. When we are born again, we become a saint or a son of God. We are placed into God's family. And the two spheres of life are, according to the Bible, entirely different. And five times in our passage, the Bible says this, that those of us who are sons of Adam, but by faith in Christ and the new birth, we're born again, we become sons of God, that those of us who go from the line of Adam to the line of Christ, from the family of Adam to the family of Christ, that those of us who make that choice are given much, much more. Adam was limited, not only in his life, but in what he has to offer. Christ offers us much more. So two men, Adam and Christ, they illustrate the choice that each one of us has to make. Now hear me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. We make a lot of choices every day. We have chosen, and I hope you have chosen wisely, to follow the guidance of our governor in sheltering at home, in washing your hands, and being careful about exposure to the public. Those are choices that we make. And those choices that we make help to, if we can use human terminology here, they help to give us better odds at not becoming ill and even perhaps at not dying from this virus. But there is another choice that everyone should make, and that is this, to choose to come into personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about two different people, Adam and Christ. What does Adam have to offer? And what does Christ have to offer? And five different times, Paul said, Christ offers much, much more. Let me give those to you, if I may, at this time. Number one, Christ offers much more for eternity. Christ offers more for eternity. Look at Romans chapter 5, please, with me, if you will, and drop down to verse number 9, Romans 5 and verse number 9. Much more then, Paul says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at those first two words of verse number 9. Look at it again. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, justified not only to be forgiven, but to be declared righteous before God, to have God view us as the righteousness of Jesus. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Christ offers much more for eternity. You say, Pastor Monty, what does Adam offer in relationship to eternity? For everyone who remains only a son of Adam, and everyone born into this world fundamentally is a son of Adam, you are of Adam's race. For everyone who remains in Adam's race, there are certain things, according to the Bible, that Adam offers you. The first thing he offers you is this, sin with no solution. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin, now that's one man being Adam, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What happened? Back in Genesis chapter 3, Adam made a choice. Eve made a choice. To disobey God and to plunge this world into sin. Now, their individual sin was their choice, but Scripture teaches that because Adam and Eve were the federal heads of the human race, that sinful nature translated down or is imputed to each one of us. In other words, when we are born, and all of you know this, it's very basic Bible doctrine, we are not born good people. We are not born righteous people. We are not even born morally neutral people, but we are born fundamentally sinful people. We have passed down from Adam a sinful nature. And so Adam promises sin with no solution. That doesn't merely mean personal and individual sin, but it includes that. In fact, in Romans chapters 1 through 3, when the Bible is dealing with the issue of sin and how righteous people sin and how the heathen sin and how religious people sin and how moral people sin, those are really references to the individual sins that we commit. But in Romans chapter 5, there's a little change. The idea of sin in Romans chapter 5 is not just the personal sins that we commit, but it is the root of that, it is the basis of that, and that is our sin nature. And our sin nature is the principle of sin. Paul addresses that here. The sin principle, the nature, that is inherited by all. And Adam's race, should you choose to stay in Adam's race, it offers you sin with absolutely no solution. By the way, no solution is possible by man, because man fundamentally is a sinner. We cannot fix ourselves. During the coronavirus crisis, we have watched as teams of sanitation experts go into a place and scrub it down to the best of their ability to make sure that they have killed all of the virus. But smart people know that it is not only possible, but very likely that they will have missed something. Smart people don't want to go on to a cruise ship that was infested with the coronavirus. They're not interested in that, even though it's been sanitized. People want to stay away. The very best that man can do is kind of clean up his act on the outside a little bit. But the virus of sin still remains. The nature of sin still remains. And no matter how hard man tries to improve himself, he cannot by himself solve the issue of sin. Adam offers us sin without a solution. Adam also offers us judgment. Look, if you will, at verse number 16, please. The Bible says this, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Note the word judgment. Adam's sin resulted in judgment, and Adam's sin results in our personal judgment. Drop down to verse number 18. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What is that saying? Ultimately, Adam offers us judgment. All sin will be judged in the economy of God. That, by the way, is a magnanimous statement. It's huge. It's magnificent in its size. All sin will be judged by God. It means this, that judgment for sin must take place. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the message, but judgment for sin will either take place for your personal sin in one of two places. either at the great white throne judgment, where the books are opened and the works are recited, and God then condemns to the lake of fire those who have never come to Christ, and he does this based upon their works. It will either be judged at the great white throne judgment, or, and this is the better option, sin will be judged at the cross. Sin has been judged at the cross. Those of us who have come to Christ as our Savior understand that there is much more in him for eternity, because our sin weight is no longer on our shoulders. Our sin was borne by Jesus. Those who remain as sons of Adam will one day wake up in eternity to face their sin record. Those who wake up in eternity to face their sin record at the great white throne judgment will stand, as it were, before the judge of all the universe, who will recite their transgressions before them and condemn them to the lake of fire. That is what Adam offers. I wouldn't want that. Not only does he offer judgment, but he offers condemnation. The same verses, verses 16 through 18, they mention condemnation. And the condemnation is this, that when I stand before God in judgment, there is no possibility, should I stand by myself, that I will be declared innocent. There's no possibility that I will be set free, but rather the judgment universally and without exception will result in my condemnation. What does the condemnation result in? Well, death. Death. Look at verse 12, please. This is what Adam has to offer. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, note these words, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Drop down with me to verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many, many be dead. Many be dead. What does that mean? Adam's offer is this. He offers sin without a solution. He offers judgment. He offers condemnation. Ultimately, he offers death. Now, of course, that is speaking of physical death. Remember all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden? The Lord said, you're not going to eat of the tree of the fruit of good and evil. You're not going to eat of that tree. Adam and Eve sashayed over to the tree. Eve did first, but Adam followed like a dummy. Adam and Eve sashayed over to the tree. They got tempted. They ate. They fell into sin. God had warned them that in the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But it's interesting. They didn't just fall over, having eaten the tree as if the tree were some kind of poison to the body, but they did die. At that moment, those who would have lived eternally died, in the sense that physical death entered the equation. And it was for Adam and Eve many years later. But both of them passed from this life physically. Certainly it speaks of physical death. But the Bible also talks about a second death. And the second death is divine wrath and judgment. Back to verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from, note this word, wrath through him. So Adam offers me sin without a solution, judgment, condemnation, and death. What is Christ's offer? It's crystal clear, saved from wrath through him. Believers are spared this judgment of condemnation. Believers are spared the second death. I love what Jesus said, and I often repeat these words at a funeral. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Those are wonderful words. It means this, that when I transfer from being a son of Adam to being a son of God by faith in Christ, my future is secure. Christ offers much more for eternity. But there's something else I want you to see, that Christ offers much more of a relationship. Look at chapter 5, verse number 10. He offers much more for eternity, but beyond eternity, he offers something right now. Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, there it is, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? The idea in that verse is one of relationship. Christ offers much more of a relationship. It is interesting, that verse describes Adam's offer as simply enmity with God. Now, it is a fact of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that everyone born into this world is born at enmity with God. They are the enemy of God. A few weeks ago, we welcomed the birth of Scotty and Allison's little baby. And what a cute little baby. And by the way, Scotty's not on the platform because I've ordered him to remain sequestered in his home for the health of the baby. Scotty's health is fine, Allison's health is fine, but I have ordered him not to even appear for the tapings of these services. And someone said, well, Pastor Marty, I don't see Pastor Ogden. Nobody's talking about Pastor Ogden. He must be sick. Now, look at me. Stop rumor mongering. It is not true. Pastor Ogden is operating the camera. Pastor Ogden, turn the camera on your face right now. Say hi to the people. Okay. Now, he's not pretty to look at, but he's not sick. Okay, if you looked at that carefully, he's not pretty, but he's not sick. The frank matter here is we've asked Scotty to stay home because of the new baby, and Pastor Ogden is doing just fine. But Christ offers much more in regard to a relationship. Adam offers enmity with God. That beautiful little baby that Scotty and Allison had a few weeks ago, that baby, as precious and sweet as he is born as the enemy of God. That's the truth of Scripture. He does not at this point in his life have a relationship with God. He's born by nature a rebel against God. There are people who don't like to think that way, but it is absolutely true. And as that cute little baby who I believe sleeps through the night right now, and who just sits in Scotty's arms and coos and never cries, because the Scotty's baby would never cry, never would have a negative attitude. It hardly even needs a diaper change, from my understanding. Scotty's little baby that just coos in his arms, and I've seen some beautiful videos recently, that little baby that coos in his arms is going to become a toddler. It is when a baby becomes a toddler that people understand that the Bible is correct, that sin nature is inbred, that we do not have to teach children how to be a brat. Many of them are that way naturally, not all. We don't have to teach a child how to lie. Isn't it amazing how quickly they figure that out on their own? And all of that, ladies and gentlemen, is indelible evidence of the sin nature that lives within each one of us. And so all Adam offers is enmity with God. If you stay in Adam, you're the enemy of God. It means that in Adam I have to go it alone in life without God. It means that if I go through my whole life only a son of Adam, I am going to die the enemy of God. What is Christ's offer? Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "For if, when we were enemies," and all of us were in Adam, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." Wow. Reconciliation. That is the language of relationship. And Jesus offers much more of a relationship, because no longer is there angst between me and God. No longer is there enmity. No longer is there anger. No longer is there that tension that exists because a relationship has been broken. But now there's something far more glorious. There's much more than that enmity. There is reconciliation. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is wonderful. When I get saved, it doesn't just mean that God says, okay, I'm not angry with him anymore, and he's not going to face my wrath. It's not neutral. When I get saved, there is reconciliation. There is God embracing me as his son. There is God recognizing in me the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is imputed the moment I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's huge. I don't know if any of you in the room have ever been at odds with another person. I imagine that you have been. I have been at times. It's very unsettling to me when a relationship goes south or when I have an issue with someone else. By the way, if you have an issue with someone, it is your responsibility to go to that person. If you know that someone else has an issue with you, it is your responsibility to go to that person. We're to keep very, very short sin accounts. We're also to keep very, very short offense accounts. And I think this is really important. It is never right for us to go tattletale. Well, you know, Pastor Monty did something or he said something, it offended me, so I'm going to run and tell the deacons. Totally unscriptural to do that. I have a phone number. It's published in the church bulletin because we're going to be broadcasting this to the world. I'm not putting that out there, but our members know my phone number. If I've given an offense in some way, the best thing you can do is just approach me about it, not run telling everybody else, and then finally I'll approach you. By the way, our deacons are instructed that if you have a complaint or criticism, that they will bring it to me, but they will also tell me who had the complaint and criticism. And I'll be the first person to simply call you on the phone. Why? Because it's the Bible thing to do. And you know what happens when that, and it doesn't happen much, But you know what happens when it does happen? The joy of reconciliation. The joy of a restored relationship. See, Jesus offers much more than Adam because he offers a restoration of relationship. It's not just neutrality. It's not just some kind of uncomfortable detente that exists between me and God. But rather, I am now welcomed into his family. And the most beautiful illustration of that in the New Testament, I think, is the Father welcoming back the prodigal son. They had words before the prodigal son left. The prodigal son managed to break the father's heart. The prodigal son was an offense to his father. And yet when he came to himself and he returned, there was the embrace, there was the fellowship meal, there was the welcoming home. There was, in the words of the father, "Rejoice, for this my son was lost and now is found." And that kind of rejoicing is the same thing that happens when someone comes to know Christ as Savior. The relationship begins. The Bible says this, that the angels of God rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. So Christ offers much more for eternity. We are free from the wrath of God. He offers much more of a relationship. We are no longer at enmity with God, but now we have a positive relationship. By the way, it would be good for me to note that no matter how much Adam tries on his own, he can't have a relationship with God. There's no way to bridge the gap. Sometimes in a counseling situation, maybe a husband and wife, they get at odds with one another, and try as they might, they can't find common ground. And by the way, if that's your situation, one of the wise things you can do is seek counseling. Seek someone who can stand in the middle and be a bridge between the two perspectives, who can bring you back together in reconciliation. That is exactly what Christ has done. Adam, on his own, can never do that. If you're a son of Adam, no matter what you do, you can't reach up to reconcile with God. Pastor Monty, you know, God will like me if I give lots of money to the church. No, there's no saving grace. Pastor Monty, God will like me if I keep the Ten Commandments, and God will like me if I do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to work really, really hard, and I'm going to climb up that ladder to the very throne of God. And if you remain a son of Adam, you will fail every time. Reconciliation, according to Scripture, does not come by your good works. It doesn't come by being baptized. It doesn't come by joining a church or being a Baptist or being religious. Reconciliation comes how? By the death of his son. That's why Jesus is our intermediary. He is our substitute. That is why Jesus on the cross took his place for me, and he bridged the gap by that bloody cross. He bridged the gap between me and God. And I, who was once an enemy of God, am now welcomed as a son because my Savior bridged the gap. So we understand from Scripture Christ offers much more for eternity. Christ offers much more of a relationship. Thirdly, Christ offers much more of God's grace. Look at Romans 5, verse 15. The Bible says this, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that would be Adam, many be dead, much more," now note those words again, "much more, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace by which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Number three, Christ offers much more of God's grace. Pastor, what is Adam's offer in all of this? It is ultimately death. Now, Adam doesn't come right out and say that. The world doesn't tell you that. A world that is not friendly to the grace of God claims that you can be good without God, that you can be a nice person without any form of divine grace and help. And by the world's standards, which are all relative, those things are judged to be true. But ultimately, Adam offers only death. He never offers grace. It is very temporary. Adam offers self-improvement and then death. Adam offers cultural refinement. I had someone say to me one time, "Well, Pastor Monty, we are very culturally refined people." I think that's so prideful for someone to think that. You are a high-class sinner. Maybe I'm a low-class sinner, you're a high-class sinner, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ offers much more of God's grace. Adam says, I'll give you self-improvement, then you're going to die. Adam says, I'm going to give you cultural refinement, then you're going to die. Adam says, I will give you education, and I will help you reach through the loftiest heights of education that can be offered in the world, and then you're going to die. Adam says, I'm going to offer you the mirage of human progress. And we are going to march through the ages steadily becoming better until, in the words of the secular humanist, we save ourselves. Adam says, here it is, the progress of humanity. And then you die. Christ offers much more because he offers God's grace. Grace, by the way, is an essential. There's been a lot of talk in the last few days about essential businesses and essential work. Some of it doesn't seem so essential to me, but people judge it to be so, so I will not criticize that. There is something that's really essential, though, God's grace. Because you can claim to be a self-made son of Adam. And in the eyes of the other sons of Adam, you may have arrived. Maybe you have reached some kind of celebrity status or some kind of financial status, and you are the envy of all of your neighbors. But at the end of it, there is nothing but death. At the end of it, there is nothing but darkness. Christ offers much more because he offers God's grace. Grace is an essential. Grace, by the way, according to verse 15, is a free gift. That's what makes it grace. God didn't have to, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God was not constrained to, nor did God owe man something. No, far from it. Man owes God everything, and it is a debt that man can never pay. But God said, I'm going to pay that debt on Calvary, and I'm going to give everyone who believes freely of my grace. Belief, according to Romans chapter 4, is not a work. It is the antithesis of work. Belief is simply trusting, resting in, and believing that Christ died for my sins. Pastor, how do I get in the place where I can receive the grace of God? You get there only one way, by believing on Christ. Adam can offer a lot of things that are really temporary. They're kind of a mirage until we get to the very end. But Christ says, I offer you grace as a free gift. Grace is a permanent state. Look at verse number 16 again. The Bible says this, the free gift is of many offenses, note these words, unto justification. What is that? Justification is the moment I believe, the moment I am declared righteous. And ladies and gentlemen, that happens all by grace. The Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ offers much more of God's grace. Grace is God's intervention plan for man. Man needs it, whether he knows it or not. Don't be fooled by the idea, well, you know, Pastor Monty, everything I've ever worked for, I've earned, everything I have, I've done, and all of my success is all of mine. To an extent, that may be true if you're a hard worker, but you're still going to end up dead. And at the end of the day, what you need is the grace of God. Christ offers much more of God's grace. Let me show you something else, which is really exciting. Look at verse number 17, please. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. And in the chapter here, there are several uses of the word reigned. It means that death took over, or death had authority. At the moment of Adam and Eve's death, they died. And when they died, death came to reign. And the Bible teaches that death reigned from Adam until Moses. Even without the law, even without a knowledge of the specifics of God's moral command, death still reigned. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, note the words again, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Number 4, Christ offers much more for the future. Much more for the future. It is not merely life in this world, but it is ultimately reigning with Christ. Adam's offer is sin, judgment, condemnation, death, and ultimately the wrath of God in the lake of fire. Christ's offer is not just to be a son of God, but to reign with him as a joint heir of God, to reign with him as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. It means that the earth's kingdoms are but temporary. The highest I can rise in the reign of this world, in the ladder of this world, in the status of this world, the highest that I can rise is only temporary. My power will be eliminated the moment I die, if not sooner. But the promise of the Bible is this. God says, I've got much more for you. I've got an opportunity for you to reign with Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Certainly, it's talking about the millennial kingdom age, when God's saints from the church age will help to reign in that kingdom, that literal and real kingdom. But it also means this, that throughout our life in heaven, throughout our life in the kingdom, and then ultimately in the eternal state, every one of us who knows Christ as Savior will enjoy a regal position. The Bible says this, that we are kings and priests in Christ, that we are ones who are of a lofty position, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. Remember, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to me the moment I believe. That changes everything. All of a sudden, I go from a pauper to a prince. All of a sudden, I have the opportunity to rule and to reign with Christ, to be his servant. In this world, I have the opportunity to be his ambassador, to be his spokesperson. And in the next, I have the opportunity to serve in his glorious kingdom. Adam's son, at best, reign over a temporary kingdom of death. Christ's reign in a kingdom that will never end. Christ's offer is to reign in life. It's interesting, and I'll go through these quickly. There are four reigns mentioned in Romans chapter 5. The reign of sin, verse 21. The reign of death, verses 14 and 17. Both of these apply to the sons of Adam. Verse 21, the reign of grace. And verse 17, the reign of believers. Pastor, how can I be guaranteed a future, a much more future? It is when I come to Christ as my personal Savior. And I want you to notice one final thing. Look with me, please, at verse number 20. The Bible says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, God brought forth the Mosaic law to demonstrate his moral absolutes so that man could call sin, sin, based upon the character and judgment of God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But, I love this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Christ offers much more to overcome sin. You know, if there's no rule, you can't break a rule that doesn't really exist. If there were no speed limit, you could not break that speed limit. If there were no standard, you could not break that standard. But God established a perfect moral standard in his word. And man falls far, far short of that standard. But Christ offers much more because Christ himself can overcome that sin. And the Bible says where sin abounds, and if we're honest, sin abounds in our lives. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Pastor Monty, what does that mean? When Christ died on the cross, he personally paid the penalty for my sin and for your sin. He invites all to come and to believe on him unto salvation. And no matter how abundant is our sin, there is grace that is beyond the point of our sin to not only cover, but to take away that sin. And the abundance of grace drowns the sin of this world and of our personal lives the moment we believe. The moment we believe. Christ offers much more to overcome sin. The world has an addiction program. The world has 12 steps, not necessarily critical of these, but that's what the world offers. The world offers a recovery program and maybe a philosophy of some sort that, if adhered to by human effort, can result in some level of temporary success. God says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. The ultimate solution is Christ. Pastor Monty, what is the solution to the crisis that we face right now? I'm thankful that medical science around the world is seeking a medical answer. Medical answers are the prevenient grace of God, and we live in an age where those things are possible, and we should all be thankful for that. But the ultimate answer is this, Jesus Christ. Because whether you die of the coronavirus or cancer or an accident or just old age, one day you will die. The biggest crisis is not an illness. The biggest crisis is for those of you who do not know Christ. Because frankly, the clock is ticking. Time is running out. Picture your life, if you will, for a moment as a sand clock. One of those clocks that has the sand in the top, and then it goes down to the... What do they call those, Pastor Wall? An hourglass. Thank you. Did you notice how he was paying attention to the whole message? I hope all of you were as well. An hourglass. And Pastor, did you say sundial over there? Okay, Pastor Morse, he didn't. An hourglass. Picture life like an hourglass. The sand has been slowly trickling down from the top chamber to the bottom chamber. We don't know how much sand is left. Could be a lot, could be a little. I'm 53 years old, so I would guess that more than half of my sand is in the bottom chamber. I don't know how much is left, but I do know this. I know Christ. And at the end, His grace is sufficient. And at the end, His grace is the answer. And I came to believe personally that Christ died for me on the cross. There was a moment in time when I asked Christ to be my personal Savior. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What does that mean? It means I recognize that I'm a sinner, that there's nothing I can do to climb my way to God. It means that I realize that Christ took my place when He died on the cross. His blood was shed for me. It means that I believe that He rose again. And when I call upon Christ as my Savior, I'm saying, "Lord, I cannot save myself. Please save me." So I'd love to see a cure for the coronavirus, but more important than that is that every person watching this video finds the cure for sin, and they find it in Christ. In a moment, I'm going to pray to close this portion of our service, but before I do, I'm going to invite any who are watching this video or the live stream production. Maybe you're watching and you say, "Pastor, I don't remember a time that I ever called upon Christ, that I was ever saved. I don't remember that." We want you today to come to know Him. The coronavirus is a great, great risk. But a far graver danger is for you to step out of this world and into eternity without knowing the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that He rose again, if you are now willing to trust Him, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. And we're going to ask you to bow your head and just receive Christ by personal faith by asking. Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'll pray this prayer. You pray along with me, either silently in your home or where you're listening or watching this video, maybe out loud if you'd like. And you come to know Christ today by calling on Him. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that as a son of Adam, I can do nothing to put myself into right relationship with You. That in the words of Scripture, Lord, I am the enemy of God. But Lord, right now, I believe. I ask You, Lord, to come into my heart. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. I ask You, Lord, to save me because I cannot save myself. I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose again. And I'm accepting what You've done for me as payment for my sin. Lord, right now, I believe. Come into my heart, save me. And Lord, I give my life to You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believed on Him and asked Him for salvation, it is a guarantee that in that moment you went from being a son of Adam to being a son of God, to being one who is in Christ and now identifying fully with Him. We rejoice with you. We would love it if you've made that decision, if you'll contact the church office at, what is the church office address?
office@faithbaptistchurch.com.
That's office@faithbaptistchurch.com. We would just love to know if you've come to know the Lord. We would want to rejoice with you about that. We're so glad that you've tuned in to our broadcast. Now, remember what I said at the very beginning. This might be a good message to pass around to people who don't know Christ as their Savior, because ultimately He's the answer. We pray for a cure to this corona thing, absolutely. But Christ is the cure every one of us needs. Pastor Wall, will you come now and make some closing announcements?
Well, once again, thank you for joining us this morning. And if it's your first time joining us, watching our live stream, thank you in particular. Make sure to reach out to us using the same email address, office@faithbaptistchurch.com. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to join us again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. as we have our next live stream. and that will be our prayer meeting and Bible study. But then each day, excluding Sunday and Wednesday, we put together a daily in the Word video devotional that we put together with the different staff members. I hope that you've been able to watch those. If you've not, email the church and we can get you set up with that. You can view those by going to our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, and those are posted there daily. I hope you can be a part of that. Remember, the church office is open throughout the week. We're just open remotely. We are in and out of the church quite a bit. But if you need to get a hold of us, make sure to give the church a call or email that. If you need assistance with something, particularly I'm speaking to those that are elderly, we want you to take the governor's admonition and just hunker down. If you need groceries picked up and delivered, medicines, those type of things, make sure to reach out to us. There has been an army of volunteers here at Faith that have been doing some of that anyway. And so we want to give people not only an opportunity to have someone serve them, but give others opportunities to serve as well. Make sure that you reach out to us. Then remember, as Pastor Monty mentioned, this afternoon at noon, you can bring your tithes and offerings by the church, and several of us will be here. Some deacons will
Pastor
be here.
Pastor Wall, they're going to get to see us.
Lucky you.
They're going to get to see us. Now, you've been watching on video, but video adds about 10 pounds to me, so you get to see me 10 pounds lighter. Pastor Morris, you'll be there as well, right? Okay, 12 o'clock noon, just come to the south side of the church. You won't have to. We don't want you to get out of the car. We're just going to hand your offering. We're going to smile. We're going to say a word of encouragement, and that'll be a blessing. We will also, by the way, have devotional booklets available to you, so you can ask for one of those as well on this coming Sunday. Well, it's Sunday right now. Okay, so you can ask for one of those like in just a little while when we start. High noon until 1. Finish up.
So speaking of 10 pounds, it's incredibly difficult to eat wisely during this time. So I wore one of my fat suits today. And we have stocked up so much on snacks and foods that we've plowed through those. So we hope to see you soon. You can mail your tithe to the church. You can drop it off at the church here at the lobby. You can give online at faithbaptistchurch.com, and you can do the text to give. Let us know how we can best serve you. Good to connect with you, church. Throughout the week, we've been doing this a lot, calls and text and FaceTimes of church members. And feel free to give us a call if we've missed you or you just missed us. Give us a call. We've enjoyed that. Probably more connectivity with the church throughout the week in the last couple of weeks than we've ever had before. So praise the Lord. We look for a time when we get to see you face to face and worship with you. We look forward to that time. So let's close this service in prayer. Father, we do love you. And Father, we're grateful for the watch care that you have over us. Thank you for your provision, your protection, Lord, and your guidance. Thank you for this medium, Lord, that we have to preach and to encourage our church. I pray that you'd bless our church, and I pray that you would keep them safe as well. Thank you for Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.